everyone. This is Frosty from the website Collider.com, and this is our interview with Lisa Ray, one of the stars of the film Water. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, congratulations on a beautiful film. I think I mentioned it outside. It really was moving for me in a lot of ways. But
yeah.
I wanted to start by you telling me the story of how Deepa made you the offer that you couldn't refuse.
Yeah, it really is that well put. Well, I'd worked with Deepa previously in a film called Bollywood Hollywood, which is like a little Canadian film, and had always, anyways, admired her work. I'd heard about Water first when she first tried to film it in India in 2000, and it was shut down. It wasn't involved with the film then, but, you know, it was highly publicized. And then when she sent me the script, I was actually in drama school in London, and she sent it under a working title, which was River Moon or something really cheesy like that. And I thought, this is a bit strange. But, you know, a couple of pages into it, I realized that this was indeed the film Water. And by the time I finished reading the script, I was weeping. So I thought, I mean, this is probably one of the most compelling scripts that, you know, I'd ever read. So there was absolutely every reason to be a part of this film. There was not one single reason. There was not one single stumbling block, except that I had to ask permission from my principal to actually go and film in Sri Lanka for 3 months, which is kind of bizarre because they are, you know, they're very strict in drama schools in England. You're not allowed to take on professional work normally. So, you know, Water was, fortunately for me, the exception to the rule in many different ways.
So in a sense, really, the offer was just handing you the script? What it came down to?
Yeah, you know, Deepa is, and I think only another actor can truly appreciate this, but she is such a consummate director's actor that she doesn't hold auditions. She thinks they're demeaning. I can almost hear actors out there cheering, yeah! But because she both directs and casts on instinct. I mean, she sees, you know, she'll literally sort of invite you out for a cup of coffee and see something in you that she thinks conforms to her vision of the character. And fortunately, she did know me, and she saw, to my advantage, something that she thought would work for the character of Kalyani.
Working with her on Bollywood Hollywood, how would you compare her work on this to two completely different...
Completely different. Yeah, you think so. Well, you know, I mean, Deepa is, again, a very talented director. She can move between genres, and I guess that, you know, there's a certain amount of frustration of any in any creative field, whether you're a director or actor, of being stereotyped. You know, that, you know, oh, she can only do serious, intense roles or films or whatever it is. But, you know, having said that, Water was such a journey for her and such an emotional journey and also such a passion project that that by the time we got around to the set, I think that, you know, I've never seen Deepa as happy and playful and joyful as she was while we were shooting Water. You know, it was just literally a film that I think she shot from her heart in every sense of the word. And so, as opposed to, you know, people again maybe assume that when you're shooting a very, you know, serious subject matter, we're very serious on the set. She was just like, she was like a child playing in a sandbox, you know. She was laughing and joking and, in fact, even more relaxed than she was on the set of Bollywood Hollywood.
I wanted to know about your history with film. You know, what got you into it? What was the first thing that you remember? Maybe, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, actually, my father was a real cinemaphile, and he kind of corrupted me from a young age because he, you know, I grew up watching Fellini and Kurosawa and Satyajit Ray and a lot of great world cinema, which is, again, another reason why I wanted so much to be a part of a film like Water, because I see it as falling in that category. I don't really see it as necessarily an Indian film. It's certainly not a Bollywood film. So that's the kind of cinema I grew up watching. And, you know, my father was, because my father's Indian, my mother's Polish, and I was born and brought up in Canada, so I had this very mixed heritage. But my father had a, you know, secret desire to be a film director, which was quelled, which he was not allowed to realize, because at that time, you know, it wasn't a respectful thing for a boy from a good Indian family to do. So I think that's why my father always encouraged me, and why he was so supportive of, you know, sort of my initial experiments into cinema and film, and then now he sort of wholeheartedly supports me, which is great. It's really important to have a good support system, and, you know, for your family to understand, because it's such a crazy thing to do at the end of the day.
I mentioned when we met outside before we came in, I started to mention that, you know, the film touched me on a couple of levels.
I'd like to know how.
As a student of Gandhi, you know, in that sense, you know, but more importantly, as a father of two daughters.
Mm, yeah.
So, and I asked Deepa the same question. I'd like to ask you, what is the message that you think, or that you would like this film to bring to the audience?
That's a tough one. I'll tell you why. Because I think if you perceive the film only as a film about Hindu widows in India in the 1930s, you're kind of missing the point. Because I think there's a certain universality about it, which is why, you know, wherever the film has been seen, people have responded regardless of, you know, their background. Because it gives you a great window or an insight into a very specific time and place, but it makes you understand how the human condition is the same everywhere. We all have the same struggles and, you know, and desires and wishes and things like that. But I guess if I had to, like, narrow it down to any one thing, I also see water as illustrating how, you know, how injustice exists everywhere in every culture, and how we turn a blind eye, and how we have to sometimes objectively, you know, stand outside our own societies. Because again, yes, this is dealing with a particular form of injustice or discrimination, but it happens in so many different forms everywhere. I mean, I've had women come up to me after screenings, you know, of Greek origin, who have said, "Oh my God, you know what? We do similar things to our women, or Portuguese. You know, we also do this and da 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 da." And a woman from Chile once, you know, came up to us after screening, and she was a mess. She was weeping, you know, and she sort of was drawing again parallels in her own experiences, and men as well, you know, for a number of other reasons. You know, it's about again the struggle of the individual against the forces of society and conditioning and fundamentalist forces and corruption. Like, there's so many broader themes. And I wouldn't want to preempt anything. I just want people to, like, come out and see the film, obviously, and then make their own decisions. But the other unique thing I've seen is that different people seem to take away different things when they watch the film. And I think that's a sign of a great film.
I also took, you know, tolerance, compassion. I mean, a lot of levels as well.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So. Like, you related to it because of your two daughters, you know. I find a lot of parents do on that level, and other people have, you know, as I said, drawn very, very different things. Because it's, again, a real ensemble piece. There's so many different characters as well, and different struggles.
Yeah. Were there any scenes while you were shooting that you knew that you had something special, or that you were working on something special?
I kind of felt like that about the whole project, to be honest. And you can't fool yourself. It sort of happens on a gut level. It's just one of the, because filmmaking is such a strange, crazy process. There's an alchemy that can happen when you're making a film, and it either happens or it doesn't. And, you know, there's no particular formula for getting to that place. But I just feel maybe it was all done in you know, the stars aligned, and it was done in the right spirit. I think because of Deepa's passion, and because she chose to wait before she made the film, so that she wasn't doing it as a kind of form of vengeance against the forces that had stopped her in the first place. I think that helped a lot, and her passion fired everybody who was involved with the film, from the actors to the technicians, because, you know, for instance, I think the cinematography is brilliant. It's one of the stars of the piece, and our cinematographer was very brave. He did, apparently, because I don't know a lot about the technicalities, but apparently he took a lot of chances. He did some very unusual things. But, you know, we all felt emboldened, I guess, to push ourselves because of Deepa.
What was your first reaction when you saw the final product?
It was the first time I was able to watch. I mean, I don't have that many films under my belt, but, you know, as an actor, the first time that you watch something you're in, you're always like cringing and, you know, and criticizing and stuff like that. But it's the first time I was able to watch the entire film without doing that. Not because I think I did some amazing, brilliant job, but because I was drawn into the story. I didn't feel like I was watching myself. I just completely felt like I was taken on this journey. And that's, you know, that was great.
I was going to say that I read in the notes that you went to, you've mentioned you went to drama school, but that you didn't, you were unwilling to take projects while you were at school. Is this a result of, you mentioned that it has to do with the policy at the school, but I mean, was this a, you know, would you have done this anyway? I mean, you took this role, but do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, that is interesting. Because, you know, like, as an actor, you're made to feel that you shouldn't, you're not in a position to say no, right? You know, you're a bit of a pawn. Anything that's offered, you know, you're supposed to feel very fortunate for it. But I guess I had a sense that, you know, of the direction that I wanted my career to go in, the kind of roles that I wanted to do, but the only way of getting to that place was by saying no to a lot of stuff that was offered to me, which I felt stereotyped me in a particular way. So yeah, there was certainly a conscious decision to say no to a certain, because the strange thing is, you know, I had a certain amount of professional experience behind me before, and then I went to drama school, but fortunately water very much conformed to the kind of cinema that I wanted to do or the way that I wanted to be perceived. So it was just all also a matter of great timing and a good opportunity.
I'm sure that a lot of people were probably whispering in your, you know, your ear, perhaps you want to take this role, or, you know, there's a risk factor also with roles with actors, you know.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, you're almost taught to say yes.
Yeah, you're made to feel that you're never quite in a position. You're made to feel very insecure and, you know, that you're just a pawn in the whole process. So
I was going to say, I really respect your decisions and sticking to wanting to have a path, you know, to represent yourself in certain, you know, pieces of work.
Thank you. No, thank you. I do appreciate that, because it's tough, and sometimes it may not pay off necessarily. You know what I mean? That's the point. Like, you know, now in retrospect, I can say, well, you know, this is great. It's paid off. But who knows? You know, I was just sort of lucky.
I was going to say that I think that one of the reasons why I respect, just to bring in George Clooney for a second, is that he is exhibiting a very similar kind of path where...
Exactly. You know, it's so funny, because I was discussing that with someone the other day, that he's, for instance, an actor or a member of this profession that I really, really hold in very high esteem because of the choices he's made and because he's used his, you know, his celebrity, his opportunities to do what he believes in. And, you know, hats off.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, transitioning from the modeling that you were doing into the films, and did that transition, or during that transition, include some of those roles that you turned down? You know, were they roles that, you know, were
Yeah, sure. You know, the stereotypical kind of stuff. You know, not to say that, you know, again, as an actor, you want to display range, so not to say that, you know, now having a water under my belt, maybe it would be good to do something a bit more light. but certainly, yeah, I mean, and again, you know, there's always, it's a bit of baggage to come into the profession saying that you're a model, which is why I don't normally like to say that. But yeah, that was part of the transition, I guess.
And what's next for you? You got some lighter roles, some stuff coming up?
Well, no, I have very different roles, but nothing lighter right now. I just completed a little Canadian film called A Stone's Throw, and we shot it out in Nova Scotia, in the Maritimes, in a tiny little rural town, population 152, in during the height of the winter in the Maritimes. So that was dramatically different from water, you could say, in like every level. But I enjoyed that, and I'm moving on to another project, which is also completely different. So let's see. You never know. But, you know, I'm trying.
Did you find it challenging to work with an actress like Sorella, who, you know, not forget, you know, the language barrier, but someone who, you know, has never even stepped foot on a film set?
Exactly. Who's never, like, no sort of acting experience whatsoever, except for like little Bollywood songs and dances that she used to do. She was a joy to work with. You know, she is what you see on screen. You know, she's so alive and spontaneous. And if anything, I think it helped me with my character, because in my character development, she's supposed to be a bit more childlike, and it's not easy to act that. You know, it's more easy to put yourself in a spot where you become a bit more vulnerable. And definitely interacting with a kid was helped me so much. And, you know, they say don't work with kids, don't work with dogs. You know, the kid was okay, but the dog was a problem. Let me tell you, that puppy was a nightmare. So if I have my only complaint during the entire shoot was the puppy.
How much can you relate to the character that you play? In, you know, I mean, obviously it takes place, you know, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, can you relate to someone like that, something that did you put yourself in there?
Yeah, no, I couldn't, because, you know, again, frankly, I can't. It's just so foreign to even my way of thinking, you know, because certainly she's, you know, I mean, without going into analyzing the character, she appears to be passive and yet not and accepting. But I guess the part of the key was not being judgmental about who she is and her decisions, and putting it into context and understanding that, the other key for me was, and the reason why I think a lot of the women in the film have a great deal of dignity is because there's no self-pity. It's not standing outside of yourself and judging and saying, oh, poor me, look at my lot in life, you know, because that's not how they thought. I mean, you have to think about it. This character knew nothing else. This is her world, so obviously she's not going to be judgmental about it. So that was kind of how I was able to find that mind space.